Run! Go! Get to the jibber jabber!
Hey Valerie! It's on Apple Podcasts and Podomatic! Freaking awesome!
So we've taken a break from Comic-Con Scotland, which is happening right over there, to catch up with the man himself behind the Geeky Retro Nerd Show.
Adam Gradwell.
See, I knew that.
This was your point. This was your point.
Yeah, Adam's a fellow podcaster, so we thought we'd just kind of bend his ear about a few things to do with podcasting and Comic-Con, obviously. So, how's it going, Adam?
Champion. We're in the pub.
There's no better place to be on earth.
We're drinking 7-Up.
Yeah, so I'm driving. And a little bit rough.
So we basically just wanted to talk to Adam today about his start in podcasting. We're podcasters, Adam's a podcaster,
and we basically just want to kind of see his first year and compare it to ours and kind of see what the world's like podcasting out with, you know, the big BBC companies and STV and just kind of...
Yeah, the ones that win all the awards. So
get a feel for it, yeah.
So you started it about a year ago. How did it come about in the first place?
So I started in September last year, 2018, and I'm quite a creative person, and I felt like I wasn't being creative. You know, I had a young child. I've got another child as well, who's older. She's 16 this year, and I just wanted to express myself a little bit. So. The thing I thought I only had time for was podcasting, and maybe in the early days I did have time for it, but now it's just sort of expanded and it's just taken up so much time now. But like I say, I like to be creative, and at that time I thought I'll give podcasting a blast, and I didn't have any prior knowledge. I didn't know how to record, I didn't know how to edit, I didn't know how to do anything like that. I probably still don't. But it was just, right, let's just dive in and let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Really.
So you're starting from nothing?
I was starting from absolute scratch.
How did you decide, excuse me, how did you decide what your first microphone was going to be?
Well, my first microphone was me... headphones. the way I started was, so I don't work on a Monday because I have my son, because the childminder couldn't have Zach on a Monday. Mm-hmm. So my wife goes to work, I have Zach on a Monday. Now at the time Zach was still a baby, so when Zach had his nap in an afternoon, I would record on the iPad with me microphone on me earbuds. Mm-hmm. And that was the way I did it for a good while, actually.
The thing is, I listened to the older episodes where I'm assuming you were using that, and it actually doesn't even sound too bad. Yeah. There's a definite difference, but it doesn't sound too bad.
Do you remember when we tried to do that with just an iPad in the back of our work and a car?
Yeah, but that's how tight we were for time. We used to finish our shift and then sit in the car and do a podcast.
A 12-hour shift.
But it's the passion though, isn't it? Right. You know, you want to do it, so you find the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, me finding time is a lot easier than Kevin finding time. He's got way more
kids.
Offspring.
Kids, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm married, I've got two kids, I've got another one on the way, so God knows what's going to happen. God knows what's going to happen when the third one comes along, but, you know, I enjoy it, and you know, I've said before, it took up a small bit of my time before, and in the start, my podcasts were only 15 minutes,
yeah.
Because that was the free amount of time. On Spreaker, you could do it for free for 15 minutes. So in the start, my first episode was the burbs. So I would speak about the burbs for like 15 minutes, and I found it really hard to fill that time.
Yeah.
And then I remember as well, I spoke about Back to the Future. So I had lots to say about Back to the Future, so I made that a two-parter.
Oh, yeah. two 15-minute parts.
Two 15-minute ones. Same with Ghostbusters as well. I'll probably go back and revisit them one day, but, you know, it's funny when you look back I probably cringe a little bit. Somebody messages the other day saying, where should I start with your podcast? And I says, well, if you start at the start, I'll probably cringe. But you know, it is what it is, and I was having fun at the time, still am, having fun at the time, talking about, you know, my favourite films, and I didn't really know what I was doing, to be honest. I just thought, what would I like to hear? What would I like to hear somebody talking about?
And it
was movies, particularly like 80s, early 90s, and I picked that because, you know, I was born in 1980, so I always say, I think that was the greatest time to grow up. I mean, everybody would probably say the same about their era, but what a fantastic time it was to grow up in the 80s with so many great movies. And you know, I was still a kid in the early 90s as well, with so many fantastic movies there. And when I was doing the podcast, like I say, I didn't know what I was doing. I just thought, I'll just do it, and then I'll see where I end up, and I'll see what happens.
Right. You feel quite strong about, we were actually talking about this last night, about the three generations in the 80s and why it was so important.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about it, and the genius, there's so many kind of TV shows on just now that are set in the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, the first one, obviously, was Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That Glow.
Goldbergs.
Yeah. All these things set in the 80s, and I worked out why it works, and it's because it covers three generations of people that loved the 80s.
We
were kids in the 80s. Our parents, obviously, were adult, but that was an affluent time. It was still at the time where only one parent had to go to work.
Yeah.
But
most of the time.
And for the older generation, the war was kind of long forgotten and things just kind of seemed normal. And I think that's the genius of 80s nostalgia. It just appeals to so many people.
Nice.
I think the films at the time, obviously, they're awesome anyway.
they are awesome, and of course I think it's probably round about then that there was, you know, a boom in movies because of things like VHS, you know, the video shop, the video store, going to the video.
Oh.
I totally miss it.
Yes. Smell of popcorn when you walk in.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many movies now, I would say, that are cult hits that weren't hits at time, purely because of VHS and video and rentals.
Like Flash Gordon was like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Flash Gordon, you know, I spoke to Sam J. Jones and Melody Anderson on my podcast, and Lisa Downs, who did Life After Flash documentary.
Still to see that.
It's really good, but one of the things I spoke about with them was, you know, Flash Gordon wasn't that much of a hit. It was here in Europe, in particular the UK, but it wasn't in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably because there was a massive European influence in the production of Flash Gordon. You know, it was an Italian production crew that made Flash Gordon. So it was probably angled more to the European audience more than the American audience. So they probably didn't get it. And Melody and Sam said the same. America probably they didn't get it as much as what we did, but like I say, so many cult movies born out of the fact that you could just go and pick a video in the shop and watch it.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favourite bits about your interview with Sam was when he was talking, it was his idea to do the football thing.
I know, I was like, what?
Remember the football,
surely not.
The American football scene where he's got that green egg thing and he's thrown it
off. He's thrown it off the head. That was his idea.
Because he was a football player, and he was like, well, a football player, why not just do this football scene? They're like, barren, mate. And it worked as one of the best scenes in the film.
That one,
and the one that always sticks in my mind was the hands down the tree stump thing, that scorpion thing.
But Peter Duncan out of Blue Peter.
Aye, that's right. Aye. Uh-huh. Spare me the madness. So, the podcasting. How difficult did you find it to build your audience, or did it just kind of, were you not really concentrating on that too much, it just kind of happened organically?
I didn't worry about it, to be honest. I mean, early days I'd be checking every 5 minutes, is anybody listening, and I'd have like one listen and it was me mum.
You always get uptight about that.
Oh, I don't like my mum listening. She'll never forgive me for this.
By the way, my wife has never listened to it.
Mate, Same. Same. She says, I hear it at home and I hear you laughing with Jordan on the phone all day long. Why don't you listen to our podcast?
She hasn't listened to one episode. But in all honesty, I didn't really worry about the audience. At the start, I was just happy doing it. Mm. And I was kind of in the mindset that, well, if nobody listens, it doesn't really matter because I'm having fun. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm putting it out there and if people listen, they listen. But as time went on and people did start listening, I think as a switch changes, and it sort of goes from, if people listen, they listen, to I've got to keep people listening.
Yeah.
I've got to keep that content coming. I've got to keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm on Twitter. I didn't use Facebook so much, but I use it quite a lot now.
Yeah.
Facebook's. I didn't realise how good Facebook
that's where
is until quite recently.
Yeah.
Not just for listeners, but for guests, getting in contact with guests, and things like that as well. Because before I did the podcast, Facebook was just, you know, watching your mates arse about online and posting pictures and, oh, I'm on holiday and he has me tea. And
look at my dad's the worst one, is look at my dinner. It's like, no, I don't want to look at your dinner. Even when Gordon Ramsay does it, I'm not interested.
Yeah, no, not bad. But with that different perspective as a podcaster, it's a really valuable tool, I think. Facebook, I've got in contact with a lot of people. Here we are. I've got in contact with a lot of people and a lot of people, guests who are willing to come on my show. So, for example, Mark Marshall, who worked at Lucasfilm in the late 70s and was Steven Spielberg's assistant at Amblin in the mid 80s. I got in contact with him via Facebook and I interviewed him the other day. I spoke to him for an hour and 40 minutes.
Wow, Jesus. It's like Nick Milley. It must be a Lucasfilm thing, right? Because we interviewed Nick Milley, who did the Yoda.
I've done him as well.
Right.
I haven't
Does
put it out
not
yet.
Really happy to talk
he's,
about
he loves the chat.
But he was in his shop because he's got a museum, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the
Bahamas.
In the Bahamas somewhere, St. Martin's. And he would have to stop every so often to deal with his customers in his museum, and he was selling stuff and you could hear him saying, yeah the Kenny Baker one, yeah you can, yeah, that's 20 quid or whatever. And then he'd come back and say, sorry about that. But I recorded that one a while ago, actually. I haven't put it out yet, but it was a really interesting conversation because obviously he worked on a lot of the creatures in Star Wars and Yoda, and he was a really nice fella. But the Mark Marshall from Lucasfilm and Amblin, I got in contact with him on Facebook, and he was absolutely magic. An hour and 40 minutes we were talking, and when it got about the hour and 10 minute mark, I was saying, Mark, we've been talking for a long time, are you okay? Do you still want to go? But he just loved telling his story.
Yeah, it's good to get somebody like that.
It makes it so much easier.
If somebody agrees to an interview and they don't want to talk, it's it's a bit obvious.
This is it. So I don't like to work hard.
Yeah, Barristan Selmy, what's his name again?
Ian
McElhenney from Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
He was good storyteller. And he's got a really wise look on acting. Acting's like Bryan Cranston, he's like more of an actor that really loves acting. They don't want the fame that comes with it, they don't even care about that.
Yeah.
It really is about the art.
About the acting.
He's one of those actors, so it was really nice to be able to talk to him, and it just flows. You find it's more of a conversation than even an interview.
On a more somber note, the first guy that ever gave us an interview for a podcast died.
Lionheart,
wrestler, ICW. He was an ICW wrestler.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he died a few months ago.
Yeah, sadly.
Sorry. The podcast was not bad, man. You can cut that one out.
I think, so with my podcast, it was basically just me talking about stuff. So you said to me before this started, I listened to your Ghostwatch one. So that was a year ago.
Yeah.
That was last October. Now, Ghostwatch was a show when I was like 12 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are. You look younger than me.
I'm not too far off.
I'm a baby.
But Ghostwatch fascinated me as a child. Absolutely scared me witless because I didn't realise it wasn't real. But when I did the podcast last year and it was coming up to Halloween, I was thinking, what should I talk about? And I talked about Ghostwatch because it was a show I enjoyed growing up. But since then, and again, I said this to you before we started doing this, my show has really sort of evolved from just me talking.
Yeah.
And I know that, and I've had feedback as well, that people don't really enjoy just one person talking on a podcast.
It takes a very certain type of personality to be able to do that.
Yeah, so I'm a gobshite anyway. So I don't find it that difficult, but I was aware that, you know, it's just me listening, talking, and trying to think of it from the listener's perspective. When at that time I was listening to podcasts like the Retro Cinema podcast,
yeah,
which is really great, and that's two people on there,
yeah,
Gidget and Angry Man, and I used to think they were great, and they were so natural with each other,
yeah,
and they're big pals, so they are natural with each other, and the conversation just flows. So I was aware that me just talking by myself, I was probably going to have to change it or get somebody on or up my game or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I said before, it just sort of naturally evolved into, I started talking to people because of the podcast, mm-hmm, and asking if they would be interested in coming on the show. And actually, my first guest contacted me, and it was Adam Christopher, a novelist. And at the time he's wrote Star Wars, he's wrote loads of great stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the time he'd wrote a Stranger Things novel.
Yes.
And it was an official Stranger Things novel. And it was about Hopper, and it was set in the 70s. And he messaged me saying, can I come on your show? Your show's pretty cool, can I come on? And I was kind of like, well, I haven't had guests. Are you sure? In the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know how to do this. Again, you know, it's all just a massive learning curve,
yeah,
for me, because I'd never had guests on. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to record it. I didn't know what I should be speaking to them through.
Yeah.
So I said to him, right, okay, come on the show. And then I was on Google going, right, how do I, how to record a podcast, yes, online? How to record Skype? Dolly, dolly, dar. And I was so nervous speaking to him, but in the end it was great. He was a great fella to speak to. And we spoke about the book, but we spoke a lot about, you know, things we enjoyed growing up. So he grew up in New Zealand, you know, I grew up in England, and we spoke about Star Wars, about the future and all the rest of it, and it was a great conversation. And then from then, part of us was thinking, well, that was easier because the interview makes up the bulk of the episodes.
Yeah.
I top and tail it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's a lot less work.
Yeah. I did my first solo one last week.
Yes.
Earlier this week, and even listening back to it, I could tell that I'm nervous. I'm sitting in my own kind of studio-ish, myself, and I'm nervous talking in front of myself.
Yeah. Like, we found it
so bizarre.
We actually, similar to yourself, I actually started my own podcast, right? And Jordan was just my friend at work. And every time we would go to work, we'd sit and chat about movies because that's all we talk about, right? And people would start to turn around from their desks and listen to us chat, right? So I was like, come on to my podcast, I want this. And then when that happened, I was like, right, this needs to be what we are, this needs to be what moves forward. And we've enjoyed it ever since, haven't we?
That's great.
Do you know as well, the amount of things you would love to do as just a normal person on a podcast, right? And then when you realise, once you have a podcast, you find the reason to do all these crazy things, like sitting candlelit with a guy that plays Darth Vader, to sitting in front of Jesse Ventura, Apollo Creed, right?
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, the doors that it opens for you just as a fan, I think that's most important. Like,
that was something I was going to ask you, was that you've been coming to these events for a while, or have you only started doing it since the podcast?
In all honesty, I haven't. I wasn't much of a Comic-Con person, to be honest. The last one, the one Monopoly did in Edinburgh last year, I went there because Sam J. Jones was there.
Monopoly events are obviously at the kind of forefront of these types of events in this country.
Vince McMahon, to quote, isn't Andy Cleek, Vince McMahon of the conventions. He just popped out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Do you not think? Like, there was conventions, that's pretty cool, and then boom, Monopoly just fist through the convention scene.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're doing great things. They've really burst on the scene. They've only been on the go for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think their first event was for the Love of the Force.
Yeah.
Or something or other, probably down in Manchester. And since then, it's just like, I don't know how he does it. He's got so, he must be spinning so many plates.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it. But with regards to this one up here, you know, I don't know if I can say this, and you might want to cut this out depending who's watching, but the MCM one last weekend or the other weekend wasn't good.
We walked in for a piss. And we're like, is this Comic Con?
I walked in, and I honestly would have walked back out if my wife and daughter hadn't paid 30 odd quid.
Well, we just walked in from nine.
To get in.
It was finishing though. It was finishing, but I think that to me that seemed like a different type of event. That was
it's more focused. It's
on
very different. I think it's focused on cosplay, which is great, and I know lots of great cosplayers, and that's fantastic. But for me and my audience, it didn't really suit me, and this is more my kind of thing. And you know, with people like Chris Lloyd, and people like Karen Parsons, who was Hillary on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was an episode I put out yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, she's great. You know, she's definitely more well known for being Hillary in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but she does so many other things as well.
Yeah.
You know, she's an author. She has a company that really promotes Black history in America, and we had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago over Skype, and I went to see her today and I spoke to her, and she was asking us about Scottish cuisine, what should she eat while she's here,
right.
And I went with haggis, of course.
Of course
she said,
you did.
She said, what's in haggis? And I says, if I told you, you wouldn't eat it.
You should have said it like Christopher Lambert. Sheep stomach stuff with me done badly.
if I told you, you wouldn't eat it.
So did you just contact her on Facebook as well then?
Yeah. It was funny actually, because I put a thing on Twitter to her, saying, can I get a little follow from you so I can DM you? And somebody messages, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't either of you, was it? I hope not. Because they messages saying, oh, just a note for you out of experience.
No, it wasn't us.
it was a private DM. Just a note for you out of experience. Don't approach. Oh, no, sorry. It was Paul Young. The singer.
Wow.
So I sent Paul Young a DM, a message on, you know, publicly on Facebook, Twitter, because I've been engaged in conversation with him anyway. And I sent him a thing on Twitter saying, can I get a follow off you? I'd love to get you on my show. Can I DM you? So then I got this message of somebody saying, just a little bit of advice from one podcaster to another. Nobody agrees to coming on your show publicly. I was like, all right, okay. 10 minutes later, Paul Young is following you. Gets a DM off Paul Young. Right, when am I coming on your show?
We find that to be the case.
He's been sending messages to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, quite a few times now. People are laughing, right? But
Shy Ben's getting out.
Right, I've always said this from the get-go when we started this podcast. I says, we'll do so many cool things with this, right? And he's like, how are you going to make that happen? I was like, just ask.
It's amazing.
It's not the fact that you've been messaging him, it's the way you've been messaging him. All right, Arnie, you big shit.
Got a few things we need to ask you. Any chance you can come on a wee show?
Fancy jumping on the jibber jabber.
Wait, one of these days, right? It's like Andy Dufresne. Keep sending a letter. Eventually they'll acknowledge it, right?
Like I say, Shy Ben's getting out, and you never know.
Exactly.
If you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery.
Absolutely.
True.
And I've getting people like Sam J. Jones. So me Flash Gordon one is a great example. I emailed his agent, I never got a reply.
Yeah.
I emailed him again, I didn't get a reply. I emailed him again, and he emailed us back saying, right, I'll send your email address to Sam, and if he wants to, he'll get in contact with you. And the subtext was, stop stop bothering me.
Right?
What kind of agent is that?
So then I was thinking, right, okay, well, there's no way Sam J. Jones is going to email us. A week or so later, Sam J. Jones emails us.
What did that feel like when that popped up in your email?
I was like, ah. I think I was in bed. I was like, that way.
Yes. Approval. Like, ah, approval.
You'll never believe it. Sam J. Jones has emailed us. My wife's like, who's that?
He's
Flash
in
Gordon.
He's in
Ted. Flash Gordon.
And his hair's parted in the middle.
So I interviewed Sam. And then I forgot to ask him about Melody, and then I was totally kicking myself.
Yeah.
So I had his phone number. He gave us his phone number, and I WhatsApped him about Melody, and he ignored it anyway. And then a little while later, Lisa Downs, who produced and directed Life After Flash,
yeah.
She got in touch with us, and I'd said, "Oh, I've interviewed Sam Jones. Do you want to come on the show?" And she was like, "Yeah." And initially I said, "Well, I'll do a show with you, an episode with you on your own, and we'll talk about Life After Flash." But then I said to her, "No, actually, it'll be good to have you on alongside Sam J. Jones. And then you can, you know, I dare say there might be a few more listeners if Sam's on to hear about Life After Flash." And I said, and I just happened to say to her, "I've been trying to get Melody Anderson, but I don't know how because she's quite elusive." So Lisa Downs emailed her for us, and she come back and said,
"It seems to be a big game of luck, doesn't
it?" Yeah, well, I think I've got it on my profile somewhere. I have on my Facebook, Chancer.
Yes.
I am a Chancer.
That's the best way. I think we have never. He thinks I'm a bit of a Chancer. Everything we've done has always been through chance. It's literally just ask. It's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had the idea about the cinema as well, and like, we've never done anything. I mean, I'm a musician and I played to live audiences and stuff, but we've never done anything to what podcasting is like yourself, picked up a microphone. As it gets better, we buy more expensive stuff, we get better camera guys.
Yeah.
right? I mean, if you look at our Sebastian. if you look at our earlier stuff, it gradually the ball keeps rolling, but the one thing we've always kept constant, and it's good to hear that other podcasts are doing the same thing, so we just chance it.
Yeah,
that's literally
I mean, there's loads of times when I've been going to wrap it in, but there's always something comes around the corner that keeps us going.
Yeah,
it keeps it going. I remember ages ago, I mean, this sounds daft, but ages ago I was going to wrap it in, and I got an email from a book publisher, and they said they were going to send us a Back to the Future book that they just published if I wanted a free copy of it.
Oh, nice.
And it was just a little thing like that. I was like,
I need to keep doing this.
Oh, right, okay, I need to keep doing it for free books.
Yes, yes.
I need to keep doing it for free stuff.
We've yet to have free stuff yet. No, so if you're watching this and you want to give us any free stuff.
Actually, on that note, thanks, Scott, for the beer yesterday.
I haven't had any free beer yet.
Yeah, you need to get yourself down to Bathgate Cinema then and get some free beer. In fact, his manager will be watching this. He didn't give us free beer.
We paid for it after.
Yeah.
So, you said that your first episode was on the Burbs. Why was it the Burbs?
Because I didn't want to be too obvious for my first one. I mean, Burbs is one of my favourite films, honestly. It's in my top five. I watch it all the time. It's a perfect Sunday afternoon movie.
Yeah.
It's absolute class. I love it. But I didn't want to steam straight in with like Back to the Future, Ghostbusters or whatever. They came second and third. But I just thought, you know, I'll just talk about Burbs first because it's one of my favourite movies. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. I like the obscure movies are sometimes really fun to talk about. Yeah. Actually, next door, we just happened to see that Judge Reinhold was just kind of standing around, and I was like, I'm going to shake his hand. So I went over to him and I said, nice to meet you. I told him who I was, and I said, by the way, I love Ruthless People. And nobody ever talks about that film, and it's one of my favourites.
Like Christopher Lloyd and Dennis the Menace, the movie.
Right?
How good, mate, his bad guy, I don't know exactly what his name was, right? It was just a bad guy. It's like, argh.
I had nightmares. Like, he was scary. You don't think? Yeah. Christopher Lloyd and Dennis the Menace.
Imagine Christopher Lloyd coming to Comic Cons and not getting his photographs taken with people in a DeLorean, but with, like, somebody dressed up as Dennis.
On the rat and knife on an apple.
Like, even the way he just stabs that apple from the kid's hand, man. It's all that.
It's his rotten teeth and everything. Right. He's just a horrible looking guy.
Dude, he's so dirty.
Firewood, bombs away!
Just such a great movie.
Or if you're in America, just Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis.
No, it's the other way around.
Ah, yeah. Here it was just Dennis.
Was it?
Yeah, but in America it was Dennis the Menace.
That's weird.
Because my VHS had a picture of wee what's his face, and it's just Dennis on it.
Yeah, the reason is
the cartoon was just Dennis, wasn't
it? Yes. What happened was we already had, I think. In America, it's called Dennis the Menace, but we already had that character in the
movie. Oh, that's right.
So they had to change it to
Dennis.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is a good kids' film.
Cut that out.
Do you know that the guy that directed that is the guy that played Michael Myers in the original Halloween? Nick Castle.
Was it?
Yeah.
And the new Halloween.
Yep.
Ah, crazy. This is what
a bit of a change. Bit of a change, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, where are you hoping that it goes now, or are you still in the stage of I'm just having fun with it?
Honestly, I don't know. I've got no targets, I've got no aims, I haven't even got, you know, like an audience figure that I have in mind. I'm just having fun doing it, and I just like, you know, a bit of it as well is it's the thrill of the chase.
Yes.
for the guests.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, I've got Sam J. Jones, oh, I've got Melody Anderson, oh, I've got Karen Parsons, oh, I've got Dee Wallace, who I spoke to the other day.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then when
cool.
I was speaking to Dee Wallace, literally when I finished speaking to Dee Wallace, Robert McNaughton messaged us and said, yeah, I'll come on the show. And they're all together this weekend in Calgary,
right,
for an ET reunion.
Yeah.
So I messaged Robert McNaughton saying, ask Henry Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, don't see him doing it, maybe. We saw them, we last year we were down with the ET gang. Henry was quite reserved, I think.
Was he?
Just kind of sit back with a scarf on and just kind of...
Ah, you never know.
Yeah,
see, shy Ben's getting out.
Exactly.
But I'm like, you know, sometimes I wonder, will people listen to this? Because, so for instance, Mark Marshall, who I was talking about before, he's not a household name. He's not a well-known name, but I knew of him.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I loved behind the scenes stuff. I was the kid that loved the making of Star Wars,
yes,
the making of Empire Strikes Back. I loved those things, and so I loved the people who are on the other side of the camera rather than the people who are in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So people like Mark Marshall, I love the stories they've got to tell.
Yeah.
So sometimes it might just be about what I want to hear,
right,
and what I want to talk about, and the stories I want to hear.
Yeah.
And if people listen, that's great.
It's a bonus.
But if they don't, well, I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard a great story. And Mark Marshall's a great example because he was talking about when Lucasfilm made Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
He was there when Spielberg. He was there at Amblin when Spielberg made The Goonies, and he honestly had. I'm not going to tell you because you've got to listen to the episode, but he had brilliant stories about those.
So, what's your main platform that you use for your podcast?
That I put it out on?
Yeah.
Well, I started on Spreaker because that was the free one, and I'm still on there.
Right.
So I've never changed it because I've never felt the need to. But I mean, it's distributed everywhere else, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google and all the rest of them. But, you know, I sometimes look at things like Podbean. What's the other ones?
Podomatic.
Podomatic, yeah. I mean, I know people like Skip to the End are on Podomatic. Mm. I listen to Skip to the End on Podomatic, so I've often, you know, considered going there. But sometimes I'm a bit lazy as well, so sometimes I cannot be bothered. But sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, what if I change and people stop listening, kind of thing.
Yeah. We've done that a few times, and we find that they follow you.
Yeah.
They'll follow, as long as you've got your Facebook. What we have is the Jibber Jabber community page, and that's basically it's just a community page where all our audience, they let us know what they want, what they like. They vote on our deep dives.
Yeah.
They tell us what they think. That's our hub. That's where we post, so it doesn't really matter where we go.
Yeah.
As long as we put it there, they're sat there. Eh?
Yeah.
So we're like, what, 500 people a month, a week, sorry. If we put something out, at least those 500 people are gonna see it,
yeah,
and decide whether or not they want to go for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So we've kind of found that's worked as the Jibber Jabber community.
It's the Facebook page is really handy.
I used to be Twitter,
mm-hmm,
but now I'm Facebook.
Mm. It's a good tool. I think as a social media platform, it's probably the most poisonous thing on earth, but it's a good tool.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's a good tool for getting yourself out there, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll keep on using it until they kick me off for just saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's coming up for you? What else have you got planned?
So I do the cinema screenings, so I've got some of them coming up in Edinburgh, View Cinema, Goonies, Ghostbusters, and The Princess Bride. I've got loads of requests for Labyrinth again.
Mm-hmm.
I am desperate to do a screening of The Burbs, but I don't know if I get the interest.
If you do, we'll come.
Good. Podcast wise, I've already got loads of interviews in the bag, so I've got Dee Wallace. Obviously from E.T., Cujo, all those fantastic horror movies that she was in. I've got Nick Maley, who you mentioned before. I've got him. I've got Dimitri, I can't remember his second name, who was in Cobra Kai. I've recorded an interview with him already. He was, can't remember his name, Cobra Kai now. But
I loved Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai was absolutely outstanding. I loved it.
I
was desperate to get some money from Cobra Kai on my show, and I got Dimitri, and he was good. I mean, he's just a young lad. Dimitri's his character, isn't he?
Yeah,
the nerdy guy.
Yeah.
So I've recorded an episode with him.
That's cool, man.
Had to get up in the middle of the night to speak to him.
Yeah,
who have also got Mark Marshall from Amblin and Lucasfilm, as mentioned. I've got, I don't know if I can say this yet, I've got somebody that was in, when's this going out? Soon?
Probably next week.
Right, okay. I'll say it, but I'll tell you if I need you. You're like that. Who's this going to be? When I say it, you'll be like that. But the other day, somebody contacted me who's in The Mandalorian.
Oh, right.
And I'm going to be speaking to them
soon.
It'll be exciting.
That's cool.
So hopefully that'll happen very, very soon. I'll get that out. But I've always got a few things on the go. I used to be weekly, but now I'm too weekly. Weekly is too much.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, married, two kids, full time job.
Yep.
Another kid on the way. Weekly was too much for me. So now I'm two weekly. So, you know, I'm doing one or two interviews a week. So I'm building them up.
Yeah.
I've just put one out yesterday with Karen Parsons from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But, you know, I'm always just pinging emails out left, right and centre, contacting people. Do you want to come on my show? Actually, I've got another guy, Paul Hirsch, who is an Academy Award winner, and he won he's got two Academy Awards actually, but he won one of them for his editing work on Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
Right.
So I'm going to be speaking to him, so I know he's going to have loads of great stories. Because he's worked on Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Yeah.
He's worked on The Breakfast Club, I think. He's worked on a few John Hughes movies, so I'm looking forward to speaking to him. So,
I've just thought of another film here that nobody ever talks about, The Dream Team. Do you remember that? Christopher Lloyd was in it, man.
Was that a kid's one?
No, it was a bunch of mental patients that they took them to a baseball game and they all escaped. And
oh, yeah.
Michael Keaton was in it, Peter Boyle,
oh.
And Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
That's a cracker. Revisit that one.
It's been a while since I've seen that one.
It's really worth a watch. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, another film that Christopher Lloyd was in, obviously, is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And Mark Marshall, again, who I spoke to, he was in and around that when that was made, so he had some good stories about that as well.
So obviously you're really enjoying what you're doing. We love it. it's something that I almost want to say more people should do it, but I almost don't want them to because it's competition.
So what would you say to anyone thinking about getting into podcasting? What would be your top five tips for someone getting into podcasting?
Top five tips is somebody. So my first tip is, I remember somebody messaged me saying, "I'm going to start a podcast. How much money do you make?" And I replied back saying, "If you're doing it for the money, don't, because I don't make any money.
Nah, same.
I just do it for the love of it.
Yeah,
I do a thing." On something called LiberaPay, where people can donate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I tried Patreon for a while.
Yeah.
But I couldn't commit to Patreon. I just didn't have time to be providing extended episodes or exclusives or whatever.
Yeah. Bonus content.
I sacked that off. So what I do now is I just have a thing on. It's a thing called LiberaPay, and what I say is if you like the show. And you want to help out, donate, whatever, doesn't matter how much, and you get credited as executive producer on the show.
Yeah. Nice.
So I give a shout out on the show, and that name gets listed on the episode notes.
Yeah.
So my first tip is if you're looking to make money, unless you're like brilliant, which we are, if you're mega brilliant. You're not going to make money from it.
Yeah.
Probably my second tip would be enjoy it. You know, just I was very much suck it and see.
Yeah.
Just interested to see where it goes, and so far I've enjoyed where it goes. Mm-hmm. Another tip would probably be I don't think you need really all the expensive gear.
Yeah.
Just to fire in and start doing it. Like I said before, I had my iPad. I had my headphones with a little microphone on. It sounded okay, so I just went for it.
Yeah.
And even now, all I use now is a snowball microphone thing. I remember being so chuffed that I got the little arm thing that goes on the
pop
desk.
Filter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the little pop filter thing. And my wife walked in the spare room and she was like, bloody hell, it's like Radio 1 in here.
Wife being supportive of
but you don't need all the expensive gear. And I would say as well, another tip is if you want to do it, just fire in. People say, do I need to know about this or do I need to know about that? I didn't know about anything.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying I'm the finished article by any stretch of the imagination, definitely not. But just go for it, just do it.
Yeah.
Just get stuck in. And the rest will come. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn as you go, and that's definitely what I've done. If you listen to my show from the start, it's just a massive, massive learning curve.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Sometimes, like every now and again, we'll kind of do an episode and that wasn't as good as the last one, but then the next one's even better, so it kind of balances itself.
Or you do a crap one, what you feel is like, that kind of stinks, and then everybody loves it.
Honestly, I interviewed Paul Young, and I was really nervous, and I didn't think it went well, so I put it out, and it's probably the biggest response I've had.
Yeah.
Paul Young's got millions of fans.
Yeah.
Loads of women were messaging us on Twitter, saying, oh, great interview, absolutely brilliant. Even, you know, people who have followed him for years saying, oh, I've learned something new that even I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And my mates were texting us saying, oh, I love the Paul Young thing, absolutely brilliant. And I was like, really? I says, I thought I struggled.
It's one of the best things about podcasts is the kind of long form discussions you can have. I mean, if people want to listen to it, they will. If people are interested in who you're talking to, they will listen to an hour and a half with basically no edits.
Yeah.
It's just one-on-one conversation with no edits, no production companies hanging over you telling you what to do and say.
Very little editing goes into mine.
Yeah.
Very, very little.
To begin with, I kind of was right into making it production.
Overhead.
But then we've just been like, you know what, it takes, it's far easier for us just to be us, because we found that people don't, they tune in for our movies, for our content discussions, but what keeps them there is our banter.
how
much they laugh at something they'll say. Do you know what I mean? It's the chemistry, I think.
I mean, that's the...
I'll tell you the best one. this my dad cut his thumb off a couple of months ago on a circular saw. Well, it wasn't his full thumb, it went right through the middle of the nail here, just lopped the top of it off.
Ow.
And I told him about it. I was like, yeah, he's going into plastic surgery tomorrow. And he goes, yeah, nothing better than a new pair of tits to chew yourself up.
That was my finest moment.
We got a good few responses on that one.
Yeah, people laughing at, you know, as I fell on the petrol up listening in the car and that, I just pissed no
sleep. I was like, yeah, my dad will love that.
But so, it doesn't matter really what production value you put into it. If the content's there, you're grand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a big thing for, I think, for us, like the way we do it is, like you said, it's just the way we speak to each other.
Yeah.
Doing it on my own the other day just felt alien.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre. But I think everybody will have their own kind of preferences.
Yeah.
And
you find your groove.
Your
ass crease within the seat, right?
Yeah.
Podcasting.
Yeah. probably just wrap it up there. That's been great. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
Just want
to
tell everybody where they can find your podcast. So it's the Geeky Retro Nerd Show.
Yeah, Geeky Retro Nerd Show. It is available on pretty much everywhere you listen to your podcasts, in particular Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, all the main ones. And I'm on Libra Pay as well if you want to donate.
You
can be credited as an executive producer on the Geeky Retro Nerd Show.
Perfect.
Well,
that's great.
Thanks very much, Adam.
It's brilliant. Nice to meet you. Nice to speak to you. Thank you very much.
We'll see you at another convention.
Yeah.